Good morning to you all. Good to see you guys. Glad to have you here and happy Thanksgiving and all of that. We're in week number 10 of our series Quest, but I got to back up a little bit. Last week, I had mentioned we were talking about Peter and Jesus coming into Peter's boat and this miraculous catch of fish. And I was talking about the community and how important it is for us to gather together. And I mentioned as part of community that I just love warm cinnamon rolls with cream cheese icing all over the top. And lo and behold, last week somebody brought a box of cinnamon rolls and dropped them off at the front desk with my name on them. I just want you guys to know I love GMC trucks. Yeah, I do. I'd like the Duramax diesel, if you don't mind. That's my favorite. So, no, I love our church family. I love how you guys give and share and live life together and as we commune together. And I just got to tell you, our African community, those who have come from many different parts of the world and are part of our church family, right now in another room, there are two interpreters interpreting in Portuguese and French, and through your iPhone, you can listen to those languages. And so there are some people sitting around you with earbuds in their ears, and they're able to hear what you're hearing. That is a cool thing that our church is doing. So I'm also incredibly excited about this morning that I believe God is present, that His Holy Spirit is surveying our hearts and He's paying attention to you. And I want you to ask in your heart to Him, God, what do you have for me today? Because I believe wholeheartedly that He has a message for you, that His Spirit is moving specific to you as He does for me in the same time as we're gathered together. And if you're watching online, we're just really believing the very same thing. And He does all of that as we are at different places in our journey, getting to know Him, even if we're just exploring, or if you've been following Him for decades, He meets us right where we are. In addition, He gives us a sense of belonging to Him. And I'm convinced that our culture is craving a sense of belonging. I just know they are. You can just tell people want to belong. Even if it's through a civic group or some club, or whether you're on the streets and you're going out and just walking the streets and taking a look, or whether you're a part of some group and you go, wow, I just want to have some community around me. It's part of our DNA. It's innate within us. We just want to belong. God's plan is for you to belong. It is for you to be a son or a daughter of His family. That was His plan all along. And if you feel like I'm kind of on the outside looking in many senses of this culture, you can now feel like you are understanding that God's got a vision for you to belong as a son or a daughter, and He's going to draw you into that. And so here's the question we start with. How do we know that we're part of the family of God? How can we even know if that's possible? There are lots of opinions and there are lots of theological constructs about how you can know if you're part of the family of God. But here's the question in a summary. Can we know literally that we're part of the family of God? Can we understand that? And who does Jesus, being God in the flesh, consider as part of His family? Who would He call His family? And I said this first service, but I'll say it again. If this were the last message that I preached or shared or that you heard from me, I could actually say this would be the most important message you'll ever hear. Because if you apply what we're about to share, everything will fold from there. Everything will flow from there. Everything will come out of what we're about to share, because this is how Jesus says you can know that you are part of His family, that He would call you a brother or a sister. Here's how He says it. It comes from Jesus Himself. In Luke chapter 8, verse 19, Luke tells us, "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see Him, but they were not able to get near Him because of the crowd. And someone told Him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you.' And he replied, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." That's how you know who his family is. That's how we can know for sure that we're part of the family of God. It's not just some Sunday gathering that we hear from him. It's that we know him and we take his word. We take him at his word. From hearing and believing to practicing and aligning ourselves with Jesus and engraving his truth on our hearts so that we live a life that reflects him, reflects his words. And that's how we know we're brothers or sisters or sons or daughters of God our Father. But that is a truth that was not widely known or believed at this particular point in Jesus' ministry. And it's kind of like you could say, well, Jesus was ahead of his time when he was saying this. Because even the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the ones who proclaimed the truth of God, were known for being hypocrites because they told you what to do, but they didn't practice it themselves. And so, wow, the big hypocritical teachers that they were. And then we can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, perhaps I fit the mold that I too could be called a hypocrite, and that maybe I'm not practicing what is preached, or maybe I would say that as a pastor saying, I'm not practicing what I preach. And if that's the case, you have every right to say, get off the stage. Who do you think you are? And for sure, there's no perfection. But I will tell you one thing I know that is true. And I know that I know it's true. In God's word, there's freedom. His truth will set you free. Every single time I apply the truth, there's freedom. Every time. And if you apply the truth, there's freedom. If we apply the truth together, we live a different kind of life. But here's the deal. This might shock you. At this point in Jesus' ministry, his own mother and brothers didn't fully grasp who he was and what it meant yet. It was these kinds of statements that made them believe that their son and their brother was actually crazy, like he was out of his mind, and they were going to do something about it. In fact, Mark, which is another gospel, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four gospels. They tell the story of Jesus. You can read any one of them, and they'll often tell the same story. Well, Mark shares the same story about Jesus, and here's what he has to say in Mark 3, chapter 3, verse 20. He says, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He's out of his mind.' And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He's possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons, he's driving out demons.'" This is a big deal. Imagine your own family and the Pharisees, the pastors from the local church, let's say, evaluating you and saying, "You're out of your mind. You're absolutely possessed by Satan." Can you imagine? I mean, if someone ever said that to you, you go, "Well, that's kind of insulting. That's a little harsh, don't you think? You're out of your mind. By the prince of demons, he drives out demons," which, by the way, doesn't make a lick of sense. The Pharisees didn't have a clue what they were talking about. So we know that his brothers could easily say, "Jesus, he's out of his mind." They're brothers. But his mother? Mother Mary? Mary, the mother of Jesus? She also? Yeah, that's what it said. I didn't write it. That's what it said. And they were all standing outside ready to seize Jesus and get him out of the public eye because Jesus literally believed that the word of his Father was not only true, but it was worthy of following, unlike what the Pharisees and teachers of the law practiced themselves. Jesus said, "My word is true. My Father's words are true.
His words are life. I mean, have you heard that before? His words are like the bread of life. His words are joy. His words are truth. Or was he only crazy because he didn't know who his real family was, like he thought his family were other people? But you say, that's what he said. That's right. My true family are the ones who hear my Father's words and put them into practice. And so if you and I say, wow, I hear the word of God all the time, like on a Sunday morning, or my prayer is that you open it up during the week, because we're going to talk about that and you're going to feel really guilty in just a second. So hang on just for a minute. We'll make it through. But these words give life. And Jesus was making the simple, most clearest possible statement he could, describing what those who are his true family look like. And it's crystal clear. What isn't clear about what he's saying? That if we hear the word of God and apply the truth, that we're his true family, his brothers and sisters. And that means community. It doesn't mean boring either. It's joy. It's refreshment to our soul. And if you're sitting there thinking, gosh, I could use some of that. Well, it's there for you. It's there for me. We only cheat ourselves by not opening the Word of God. How in the world would we know what God has to say to us unless we open His Word and find out? Because every time you read something, even if you don't understand or I don't understand everything, there's always something. Yes, anybody who reads the Word of God, there's always something that pops out and we go, oh my goodness, that's a life changer, that is. That's a game changer. And sure enough, it is. It's crystal clear. His word proves that our love and allegiance to loving him and loving his family and loving one another are the result of his word being put into practice. And if you're going, man, I am so tired of a culture that we live in that doesn't love well and that doesn't forgive and doesn't understand. Wow. So here we are saying, no, you can have all of that. Simply put, it's like any parent's greatest desire to have their children listen to what they tell them to do and do it. I mean, isn't that a kicker? We may not experience that very often, but wouldn't it be great if we said, hey, why don't you go upstairs and brush your teeth and go to bed? And no trouble, no problem, not a single issue. Now, sure, mommy and daddy, I'll do anything you say. Or if they behave in the grocery line where all the candy is right by the cash register and everybody can say, if you just behave, no, I'm not going to bribe you. No, nothing like that. Wouldn't it be great if we just read the Word of God and obeyed it and said, wow, it's life-changing. Listen to what John, in John chapter 14, before we go there, in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And later in other scriptures, he says, and my commands are not burdensome. They're not ridiculous. They're not so heavy and overwhelming. They're not like, I'm going to crush you with my commands. They're not like that. His commands actually set us free because they're the guardrails for our life. And then in John 14, verse 21, he says, here's why. This is the why we should keep his commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, hear this, it's for us. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. And anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father. They are the words straight from God himself. And Jesus is the one saying, if you love me, you keep my commands. And my dad, he and I will come and make our home with you around your table. We'll be at your table. When I think of somebody at my table, I don't think of someone who's an ogre at my table, you know, and looking really mean and pointing a finger and judging and being all uppity. And I know when someone's around my table, man, we're passing food and we're talking and we're laughing and we're enjoying each other's company. Do you not think that God wants that kind of relationship with us? Of course he does. Jesus said, this is my true family, the ones who hear the word of God and put it into practice, and you get to fellowship with God and hear from God. And if you don't open your Bible, or if I don't open my Bible, we'll never hear from God. And I'll say that about six more times in this message. You'll always find him there. Every time you open his word, you'll always find him. These are words straight from God, and obedience to his word allows Jesus to make his home with us. It's very, very personal, and the more it happens, the greater our sense of belonging to his family. Let me say this, that he's really with us. Let me ask you if you believe that this morning. Do you believe he is really with you? How about in the worst of times? How about when the answer to the prayer is not what you wanted? What you begged him for, and she died anyway. Or the disease progressed anyway. Do you believe he's with you? And that this world is broken, but he's not? And there will come a day, there's going to come a day that we won't be broken anymore. I got to tell you a dream I had just a few days ago. I had a dream, and I was preaching like this, but I was preaching hard. And I was saying, you need to know. And I was like that, like a real preacher, you know, like, you got to know, like that, like, you know. And here's what followed, that Jesus is coming soon. It kind of feels like it, doesn't it? You got to know. And even if he doesn't come in your lifetime or mine, he's coming again. And I don't care if he doesn't come in my lifetime. What I do care about is that I honor him and have a relationship with him, that I can relate to him and know him, and that you can know him. I want that as much for you as I want it for myself, so that we can get this message out to Greater Portland, that Jesus is alive, that God loves you, that he'll forgive you of your sin, and he has a vision for your life, and he has a home for you in heaven, but he has a place for you on earth even now to be used by him. Don't we want Greater Portland to know all that? I do. We have Jesus and his word in common together. As parents, we want our children to know Jesus and follow him. We want them in our youth group and student ministry and to experience Jesus in community at 5:30 on Sunday nights with middle schoolers and high schoolers, which I love that we have that gathering. That we love our middle schoolers and high schoolers. And boy, do I have a burden for them, don't you? That these kids that are growing up in our world, we should have a burden for them. We should open up our hearts to them. It sets our souls free to share the word with them and sets their soul free. Hey, I could have titled this message Satan's Number One Concern, because that's what it is. Satan's number one concern is not that we hear the word of God and not that we're exposed to it. His number one concern is not how much Bible knowledge we attain or even that we believe it. Satan's number one concern is that we get it. And that we apply it, and that we actually live out the truth in relationship with Jesus and with God the Father. That's what Satan is concerned about, that we actually believe it so much that we fellowship with God and with Jesus around our table, and we walk with him, and we include him, and we acknowledge him, and we talk to him all through our day. That's what Satan's concern is, that we believe, not just that we get into the word, but that the word gets into us. That's what Satan's number one concern is. Last week I spoke about Jesus being in Peter's boat and the miraculous catch of fish that Jesus provided for Peter and his buddies in the boat so much that they began to sink. And then we thought, wow, that's a really great miracle, but that wasn't the point. The point was that when Peter recognized who was in his boat, the Holy One, he fell to his knees on a pile of flopping fish, and he hung his head and he said, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus would not leave. Are you kidding? It'd be like Jesus saying, you want me to leave at the best part? You want me to leave when the fish are full and flopping and everybody's laughing and we're having the time of our lives, Peter? I think Jesus said something that eased the guilt in Peter's life and the recognition so that he could say, "I don't care what you did, Peter. It's not about what you did or who you were and all the things you recollect about yourself. It is now. I'm in your presence. We're together. We are family. You're my brother. We are moving forward. Let's go catch some men." What do you think? That's a different relationship, isn't it? It's not a Sunday-only gig. We don't just gather here and hope that we make it through to the next week. And having that kind of relationship with Jesus doesn't just happen because we had some religious experience. And I'm not knocking religious experiences, because oftentimes people will say, "I think I met God like on the path in the woods and he showed up." And I want to say, "Hallelujah, that's great." But that won't get you through this life. And some people want to live from religious experience to religious experience to religious experience, or Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, and do nothing between Saturday and Monday, or whatever those other days are. And if you get baptized, that's great. But that baptism isn't going to give you a relationship with Jesus. I may be skipping ahead, but the greatest question after your baptism is, then what? We put the Bible on the shelf and go back to the way we were living like the Corinthians did. And Paul had to write a whole letter to the Corinthian church about the fact that they were going backwards, back to their old life, doing their old stuff again. And then they're wondering why everything's falling apart. And Peter denied Jesus. We know that's true, but he had some failures and victories and many more victories. And Jesus said, what is true is we hear God's word and practice it, and if we're part of his family, Satan just doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want you to open your Bible. He doesn't want you to include Jesus in your day. He doesn't want you to pray through the day. Satan does not want you to keep God in the loop of your life all day long, and God is just saying, "Let me in and I'll come in, man or woman. I'll come in. I'll come in." Satan's number one concern is that we listen well and that we do what God asks us to do and that we abide and remain in Jesus. Or maybe we take seriously a message from Jesus' brother. By the way, Jesus' brother, James, eventually came around and believed that Jesus was who he said he was. And so did his mother Mary, aren't you glad? Because, I mean, they all believed that Jesus is who he said he was. And then James went on to further the kingdom and advance the gospel. And he wrote important information in the Bible for us to take in. And here's one of the more practical things he wrote in James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. We'll experience the blessing around the table of Jesus and from the word that we read in our favorite chair or that we spend time listening to as we're driving down the road, because there's so many gadgets now that you can listen to the word of God as you're driving and still not crash and still enjoy him and have fellowship with Jesus everywhere we go. It's just available so much. It's looking intently into the word and doing it. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it, that we would forget what we look like after looking into a mirror, even though I'd like to at times. Like, oh, there you are again. It's kind of scary sometimes to look yourself in the face in the mirror and just stand there for a minute and just ask that question, who are you? Or whose are you? Who do I belong to? Wouldn't it be cool if the Holy Spirit showed up right there in the mirror and you go, oh, there we are, everything's fine. And Jesus kind of shows up and, well, he's there, you see, he's already there. He dwells inside of our hearts. It's kind of like walking with a little preschool boy or girl along a path, and as you're walking, they just drop their hand from yours and they squat like that. And they squat down and they look, and they're looking so intently at like probably a little fuzzy caterpillar, and there's nothing you can do to get their attention away. You can say, come on, come on, come on. And they won't budge. They're not going to move a bit. They're looking at what an incredible piece of God's creation that they've maybe never seen in their whole life before. And they're looking so intently into that. It'd be good if we would join them, by the way, and not drag them away. And squat down, if I can, and say, well, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? I can hear myself saying that to my granddaughter right now. What are you looking at, Addie? What are you seeing? And oh, if they could just say what they're seeing. And it would be the same if we look into the Word of God with that kind of intensity and we say, oh, look what I found. And even if you don't understand everything, and I don't understand everything, we're looking at it and we run across a principle and we write that principle down or we put it somewhere, and it's the principle that changes our life from that day forward. That is possible. Do you believe that? That is really possible. And if you're saying, well, I don't know if I believe it, I haven't tried it, I'm not here to make you feel guilty, except for a little bit. And then open your Bible and read it. And if you don't think you have to because you got it memorized, congratulations. I don't. I crave what it says, even if I don't feel like reading it. I just have to. It's where I get my relationship with Jesus. And anyone who loves me, Jesus said, will obey my Father. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. You know what that means? That means, like last Friday, I read something from my time with the Lord, and it was so profound. It was so simple. It was this very thought, that you can approach the throne of God. You can approach God with utter simplicity, and it's easy to get into his presence. And I thought, really? I've never looked at it that way. That it's easy to get into God's presence, but that's what this author was saying, is it's just easy to get into God's presence. Come on in. And so I was having my time with the Lord upstairs in our bonus room above the garage, and I just thought, okay, Lord, I'm coming right in to be with you because it's easy. That's what this author was suggesting, and I want to believe it's true. And do you know he met me right there? And we had the best, most simple time. Just God and me talking. Did I hear him audibly? No, I did not. I would have loved to. But I could sense his presence powerfully, and I could sense his spirit for sure. And then you know what happened after that? I went out to try to get my trailer lights to work between my car and my trailer. And it's just a utility trailer. It's a rinky-dink trailer, and the car that I plugged the lights in, and How many know this whole routine with trailers and cars and lights and trying to hook them all up, and you're going, and so that's what happened to me. I plug them in, nothing, absolutely dead. So I did what any normal red-blooded American would do. I YouTubed it, and as I YouTubed it, I found the solution. And the solution was to go buy this power module and put it in the right quarter panel of the rear of the car, and I did exactly that, and I plugged the lights in, and guess what happened? They worked. That's how I know God was with me. That's how I knew it. He's right there in the center. He joined me in it. Here's my question. Do you think God wants to be a part of every piece of your life? Yes, he does. Come on, even the trailer lights? Absolutely. You mean when I lose my keys? Yeah. Even a sock? Probably. I think sometimes we think God's only in the big stuff. And I think what he really wants to do is invite you into everything. And he wants us to invite him into everything. And the only way that'll happen is if we do. If we look intently into the word and then do what it says. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Otherwise, we're just going to church and doing the church thing. And so we say, open your Bible, open my Bible. Look in the Word of God, see what he has to say for us. And as we get acquainted with him and his Word, his Spirit will manifest more of who he is and his presence in our life because he dwells inside of us and he'll bring his Word to our mind. As God was reuniting with a wayward Israel in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24, listen to what the prophet says there. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart. And put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God says, I'll put my spirit in you. I'll take your heart of stone, the one that's full of crust, the one that you have enshrined in a wall because of all the things that people did to you in your past and what they said to you and the types of things that you encountered, and you say, no one will ever hurt me again. No way. I will keep people away. I will bind them from me. I'll put a crust around my heart. And so we say, nobody will ever hurt me again. Not my father, not my mother, not my sister or my brother. I'm just going to stay to myself. And you don't have to raise your hand, but if that's where you've lived at any point, you may still have some of that crust built up around your heart that's so hard, and wouldn't you love to have the Spirit of God come into your heart and take your heart of stone? And give you a heart of flesh so you can feel again. See, oh, but I've been through so much pain and had such a, well, I can't even tell you. I know. How about if God comes in and takes your heart of stone and breaks off the crust and gives you a heart of flesh? And how about a father you can trust? And for some, that might be the first time you thought it possible that you could trust in a father. Maybe. Or maybe it was a mother, maybe some friend or an ex-wife or husband or whatever happened. That God will come in and say, you know what, you're mine. You're my son, you're my daughter. You know how I know it's true? It's because you hear my word and you apply the truth to your life. That's how I know. If you're saying, man, I don't even know where to begin, even when you talk about reading the word. And so out in the lobby on the table, there's Quest 52 books that go along with this series, and you can pick one of those up, and we're in chapter 10 today, and you can just open it up to chapter 10 and read it and follow the scriptures that are located in that and just get your hands wet, your feet wet, your heart wet in the Word of God, and let the Word of God begin to speak to you this week. You'll have a better week. It wasn't too long ago, like a few months ago, that I heard like the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and here's what he said. It's really not very long and drawn out. He said, stop worrying. I thought, you talking to me? I've never been much of a worrier. But I'm supposed to leave my job in 6 months. And he just simply made it clear. Stop worrying. And then about a month after that, I feel like I heard something else, not very long. He said, trust me. Oh, answer came a little late. I mean, a little longer after the first one, like a month later, like, stop worrying, trust me. I'd say that's pretty good wisdom, don't you think? Comes straight out of his word. And you know what he also would say to us, or to me? I think he'd say it because you're my son. Really? I love hearing you say that, Dad. You know? You're my son. I love you. You're my daughter. I just love you. Oh, you think God will get that personal? We were created in his image. We can say those things to each other. I love you. I think the world of you. Give me a hug. Come here. If we're created in his image, don't you think that's the way he is? And then we go, well, but I don't know if I've ever experienced. I know. Well, how about if we try? So get a book and read the scriptures. And if you don't know where else to start, open the book of Proverbs. How many know Proverbs has a lot of wisdom in it? There's one for every day of the month. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. It'll change your life. And if you want to know who God is, start to finish, read the book of Psalms. You'll find every emotion high and low in the book of Psalms, and you'll get to know who our Father is. That's a good place to start. And then read one of the Gospels like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and find out who Jesus is. And you know what's going to happen? Never in a million years did you ever think you could forgive the person that you need to forgive, but Jesus will help you. Oh, you mean I have to forgive? Yeah, that's exactly, that goes with the territory. And never in a million years did you think, how am I going to get rid of this anger? That's so much, it's just so much anger in me. Jesus will help you. There's no place for anger in his kingdom except a righteous anger. And how many know it's hard to have a righteous anger and make it right, you know, keep it all under control, under wraps, you know, so that we deliver it well. You see, everything we need comes from being a son or a daughter of God, everything. And one more time, here's how you can know that you're part of the family of God. Here it is, those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Jesus said, these are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. It's good stuff. Let me pray for us. Father, we are blessed by you to know that you want that much of a relationship with us and that you've always longed for that with us. And as rebellious people that we can be at times, that we have turned our hearts or our minds away from you and our whole lives. Sometimes we've spent so much more time away from you than with you. But today we say, would you just join us right now? Would you come right into our heart through how you said you would, through your Holy Spirit? And would you take our heart of stone, or even if part of it is encrusted and not all of it, but that you would just take that and chip away that crust around our heart and give us the heart of flesh so that we can feel again and feel you and feel your Spirit's power and presence, and so that we can recognize that we are so valuable in your sight, that we are your sons and your daughters, and that you so are so eager to be around our table with us and in our place of work, at our hair salon or in our dump truck or as we're in our corner office or whatever we're doing, that you want to be present. May you be present, and may we allow you and invite you in Jesus' name. Amen.